Welcome back to another episode of Drinking the Kool-Aid with Lila and Naima.
Please excuse the relentless leaf blower in my intro audio. It was the neighbors. There was nothing I could do about it.
This week, we're going deeper into the ether, talking about dreams.
We're really excited. This week, we're going to be talking with Juliana DeVar from The Honey Hive. Someone who uses kind of like a bunch of different tools to access dream work and comes from kind of mixed modalities and a very intuitive approach. So can't wait to get to that part of our episode. But first up, we've got me, Lila, giving our thesis this week. How are you feeling, Naima? This is a topic I know you're a little ambivalent about.
Well, the thing is, I don't remember my dreams. So I know that I dream because I wake up oftentimes like feeling a certain way, and I'm like, I think I must be having a dream that made me feel this way, but I don't remember what it is. So part of me is like both excited by it, because I do believe that our subconscious is at work, and that dreams are a really important part of being alive and a conscious being. Like, animals dream, we dream, there's something so powerful about that. But also, it's not something that, at least in my mind, that we really know very well or can remember really well. So then how do we then use that thing? You know what I mean? It doesn't seem like a good, reliable reliable primary source.
I hear you. Yeah. You wouldn't cite it in your bibliography if you were writing a research paper.
Exactly.
I gotcha. So I brought this topic to the table today because I actually quite recently have become more interested in thinking about dreams. It's a topic that's popped up over the years, and it's always fun when you do have some really great, juicy dream. But I very recently have started, through my friendship with Juliana, to think a bit more about them, and it's kind of been fun. So I thought it would fit into our whole vibe here on Drinking the Kool-Aid, which is to delve into understanding of the self and humanity. And dreams are right there. They're up in the old noggin already, just waiting to be unlocked. So are our dreams meaningful? Do they have insight for us that we could maybe unlock if we looked into them thoughtfully? This is a question I think that humanity has been asking itself since the dawn of time. According to my brief research, which, to be upfront, consists mostly of going on Wikipedia, we all know some ancient societies saw dreams as like divine or supernatural communications. So as far back as like, there are records as far back as ancient Sumer, depending on how you want to pronounce that, in Mesopotamia, evidence of dream interpretation dating back to around 3100 BC, you know.
In Mesopotamia,
yeah. And we hear about it in ancient Greek and Roman cultures too. There's this idea sometimes that a dream might be a premonition that comes up in a lot of storytelling, or a communication from God or from the spirit world. So that's an old, old idea. Then we're going to jump forward pretty far in time when we get to our boy Freud. He had a lot to say about dreams in psychoanalysis. So he wrote a book in 1899, The Interpretation of Dreams, which posed dreams as primarily wish fulfillment. We could look into what our desires are by unpacking our dreams.
Is the converse true for nightmares? Like unpacking our desires and nightmares, or unpacking our fears and nightmares, or are nightmares included in dreams?
Yes, so nightmares are definitely included in dreams, and there's also this idea that Freud developed and that Jung later like developed a lot as well, later maybe sort of simultaneously, about the things that we repress in our conscious waking life pop up in our dreams, sometimes under a veil of disguise. So there's a lot that we really like to repress and tuck away that either society or whatever tells us is not okay to think about, and we bury that deep in our mind, and then when we're sleeping they will kind of come out to play, and sometimes they'll come out a little bit in disguise, and that can also teach us a lot about ourselves. So Jung also had this idea that dreams were meaningful, but he kind of expanded from Freud's idea, which I have very much simplified, and I hope someday we can speak to a Freudian expert or a Jungian expert. But this idea that the dreams offered an even wider reflection on the unconscious, both personal and collective. that there is this
Jung and the collective unconscious.
Yes. So that there's this idea of a kind of collective symbolic language or an archetypal language that might be operating through all of us, and that we might be able to get in tune with something about the collective through discovering our own subconscious. Jung thought that you could sort of lead a person to wholeness through a dialogue between the ego and the self, or that's what the dreams were trying to do, to integrate the conscious ego self and this more subconscious, what he's calling the self, which is, I don't know, maybe a truer entity. And so that your dreams are a combination of fresh memories, existing obstacles, and future solutions that are coming to you through your dreams. And that there is this shadow side of the self, again, going back to the nightmare idea, the shadow part of yourself comes out in your dream landscape, particularly in nightmares. So anyway, those are some thoughts that have persisted as in our kind of cultural understanding of dreams. And studies have been done that show that like at least half, and usually more than half of people sort of do have some sense that dreams are meaningful. There's also a lot of idea that there's a kind of confirmation bias included in that too. Like we like to ascribe meaning to those dreams that align with the things we already believe more, but it's definitely an idea that's been kicking around for a long time.
So wait, this percentage of people are saying that dreams in general are important, or that their dreams are important?
Oh, that's a great question. I think their dreams, but like that there is a sense that dreams hold meaning. I mean, we see that in movies and TV all the time. People wake up from a dream and they're like, oh my God, whatever.
Yeah, they'll wake up from the dream and they're like, I know what to do now.
Yeah. There's another thing I wanted to touch on about dreams is that there's this idea that was sort of started with Jung and has been developed maybe in Gestalt and other work going forward, that like everyone you encounter in your dream is also a reflection of the self. So if you have a dream about your mom yelling at you and your cousin walked in, you wake up and they may symbolize those real figures in your life and what those figures represent to you, but they also may symbolize aspects of yourself. So there was a class when I was at Vassar that was taught all about dreams. My friend was in and they held like an open lecture at one point that I attended, and this guy did like live dream analysis on some people from the audience. But he was sort of saying like everyone in the dream is you. So what part of you is your mom representing in the dream? And it's all about sort of integration of the self through these different lenses. So one thing you might do is think, what three words does that person immediately bring to mind? What do they represent? I'm dreaming about Naima. I think she's smart. I think she's kind. I think she's, you know, ambitious. Okay, so that's the part of you that you're trying to integrate in whatever scene is playing out between us in my mind, as opposed to just being like, that's about her. And then, of course, there's people who think that dreams are just mostly just you working out things from the day, when your brain just processing extra information and solidifying, you know, memory and things. So
yeah, I've read an article about how like nightmares are like helping you prepare. Like nightmares are like the things you're afraid of, and it's like absolute worst case scenario. So that then when you wake up, all the horrible things that might happen in your life are not going to be as bad as, I don't know, falling into a flaming pit of snakes or something, you know?
Speaking of snakes, I wanted to read one thing just straight off of Wikipedia, because I just thought, you know, it really illustrated this wonderfully in a way that I found hilarious. So they're talking about analyzing dreams in the kind of Jungian theory of symbolic language. And it said, you know, Jung cautioned against blindly ascribing meaning to dream symbols without a clear understanding of the client's personal situation. He described two approaches to dream symbols, the causal approach and the final approach. In the causal approach, the symbol is reduced to certain fundamental tendencies. Thus, a sword may symbolize a penis, as may a snake. In the final approach, the dream interpreter asks, why this symbol and not another? Thus, a sword representing a penis is hard, sharp, inanimate, and destructive. A snake representing a penis is alive, dangerous, perhaps poisonous, and slimy. The final approach will tell the additional things about the dreamer's attitude. You know, so that's just a little piece of potential interp there. No,
I mean, there's a whole lot of like sexual repression stuff in Freud and in dreams, and of all these things being phallic. And I'm like, part of me is thinking like, is that just Freud was obsessed with that stuff, or is everyone obsessed with that stuff? I don't know. If I saw a sword in a dream, I don't think that it would be a penis. Like, what?
Well, exactly. But I guess that was the point. It's like, what does a symbol mean to you? So there's like a base level of maybe meanings that something can hold versus meanings to you. And I think when we talk to Juliana, she'll get really into that too, that more intuitive approach. Like, whatever resonates to you personally is probably the truer thing. I'm going to read a passage. I have this Llewellyn's Complete Dictionary of Dreams. Someone gave me basically this, like, well, it's calling itself a dictionary. It feels like, I don't know, an encyclopedia of symbols. And this now is very much something Juliana has cautioned me about using, because it is very, like, standardized and not so personal. But these are common meanings that things have in dreams.
The DSM of dreams.
Exactly. by Dr. Michael Lennox. What is he a doctor of, I wonder? I'm going to read from the introduction just one paragraph that I thought was kind of helpful to me in thinking about how we might use dreams. So, dreams are stories told in a language of symbols. To understand that language, you must go to the heart of the image itself. The universal meaning of any symbol is held within its use, its essence, its purpose, or its inherent qualities. Once you understand this relatively simple concept, every dream interpretation is simply a story about the story that the dream is telling. So, I would like to posit as my thesis, rather than being a jumble of meaningless whatever happens to be flying around your mind, your dreams might be communications just internally about the self that might help you if you want to look into them and look past, you know, the shame that we have tied up in so many of our dreams, or the fear or the weirdness or the randomness, that there could be some really interesting and valuable insights into, like, what you are working out inside yourself, what your fears are, what your desires are, what you're trying to integrate into your being, and that it's, yeah, just another exciting tool for self-reflection.
If I were to drink the Kool-Aid on this, it would be like, I want to know my dreams so I can know myself. I feel like I am a little bit cautious about being like, I had this dream and it means this and I can't ever trust this person again.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a thing sometimes. I remember somebody telling me like, oh my God, I was so mad at my husband, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, why? I had this horrible dream where he was choking me. And I was like, so you're mad at this person in real life because of something that happened in your head, you know? So there's that. And I guess my questions are, what is the use of doing this? Are you looking at your dreams so that you can analyze them and know them better? Are you looking at your dreams to, like, work with a dream practitioner? Are you looking at your dreams for your therapist? Like, what are the contexts? Or just talk about it with your friends. Yeah, what context is it inscribed in? I'm also curious about lucid dreaming and what place that has in dream analysis. Isn't it interesting that I'm like, all of my issues with this have to do with, like, not trusting the mind. You know, I don't trust the mind, really, the asleep mind, to be a reliable source. And yet I trust my mind to make decisions for me all day long. So there's something to examine there. And maybe that comes from a place of me not remembering my dreams and so feeling a little bit out of it. You know, maybe someone who remembers their dreams more often can know when something is meaningful versus not meaningful. Because then that's another question of mine. Does every dream then have to be meaningful? You know, or can you just be having a dream?
I think that has always been my main question too. Is like, do I just want certain ones to be meaningful and not others? Or if you have a dream that when you do wake up, you feel really uncomfortable thinking about it once your, like, rational waking brain is involved again, you just want to push that aside. And what I love about Juliana, which you will see, is that she's so just, like, frank and unjudgmental. Like, there's a gentleness to the way you dive into the symbol. So it's, yeah, there's just zero shame involved in the conversation. It's like everything just has a meaning that isn't quite what it appears to be on the surface. So you don't have to get all weird about it, whatever it may be. I love your point too about getting mad at people about it. But this is a question I have, which I don't know if Juliana can answer for us or not. But if you're having a dream, on some level, your mind and then your body is experiencing that reality. So you wake up angry, or you wake up excited, or you wake up exhausted almost sometimes from certain types of dreams. And I wonder, like, what physiologically is happening to your body. We are back with Juliana Devar, here to talk about dreams and the messages they may hold for us. Juliana is the founder of The Honey Hive. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about what is the work that you do?
All right. Yeah. Hi there, everyone. My name is Juliana from The Honey Hive. I am a dream worker. I have always been a natural dreamer, as we all are, since childhood. Definitely was initiated into the dreaming realms through nightmares and night terrors. So I had to learn pretty quickly how to navigate those realms as a small child dealing with a lot of trauma. And in that way, I think probably by the time I was like 7 or 8, I started naturally lucid dreaming. At that time, like as a kid, you don't really know what that even means. You just know that like, okay, I'm going in, I'm not going to have this nightmare. Or I'm going to engage with the dream a little bit different, or just like setting up these little kind of like mind tricks. Yeah. So from there, it kind of was a lot of darkness that had come through. And I basically got to a point where I was quite proud, thinking myself quite clever, that I could avoid any type of nightmares. So for about like 8 or 9 years, I didn't have a single nightmare. And it wasn't until I was like in my 20s that I realized, oh, I was just avoiding everything that was coming through. I was suppressing that. And as I started allowing my nightmares to come back, I recognized that the true healing really was in being able to confront that. And the second I was able to see that, okay, the dream is presenting me with something. Here I am, I'm facing this, and I'm making a choice that's different than my external reality's choice. Suddenly, I realized that I was creating shifts within my own inner being that was reflected in my outer reality. So with that awareness, I just became like addicted to my dream space, recognizing it as this powerful tool for healing. And for about 1.5 years, I was just doing like rapid fire inner work, lucid dreaming, changing everything. And my entire life had shifted. I was living at the same house, under the same roof, with the same job, with the same friends, but it was my relationship to everything that had changed. And that really came about from dreaming. And so since there, I found someone, Robert Moss, a dreaming mentor, and he has written tons of great books on dreaming. But I basically found him to start taking classes from him because I wanted to then be able to turn my own inner experiences in a way that was communicable for other people to then experience this healing that I had received.
Wow. That sounds like magic. You know, it's like you have this dream of being like, all right, I'm like a car. Let's pop the hood, see what's up, work on the wiring. And hearing you say that, I'm like, oh, that sounds like a dream. No pun intended.
Well, no, absolutely. It did feel like magic to me, especially because as a kid, you know, I had been in and out of years of therapy and it just always felt like something was wrong with me, right? It always felt like I was being sent to therapy for something. And it was the first time that I really had this power to then make the choices for myself to choose other than what I was used to. And what I realized at that moment was, oh my God, I was creating new neural pathways of behavior right there deep in the subconscious where they would actually take hold. So then being able to use that in conjunction with outer healing modalities, it was everything that needed to make that magic happen, basically.
Basically, your mind is Inception.
Yeah. So is your mind and so is everyone else's.
Isn't that amazing to think of, like, that there's that power in every one of us?
And that's absolutely why I'm so obsessed with dream work, because it is accessible for everyone. Every single night, everyone dreams. Whether or not you remember it, you are dreaming night after night. So it really is like this free resource of the eternal well of self that you can tap into, that you can work with, that you can begin to understand and navigate. And I mean, it's so incredibly potent.
Okay, but then I definitely am one of those people who doesn't remember dreams. I remembered one the other day. I think because it was on my mind, I definitely was like thinking about it. And I woke up like in the middle of the night at 4 a.m. and was like, must record this dream. but it all seems so nonsensical and, you know, classic dream logic. All of a sudden, you're in another place. Or then I was realizing, wait, I wasn't me. I was someone else in this moment. Or do you go by instinct? Oh, this is what I feel, and so this is what this must mean. Or do you kind of use resources or both? You know, because for me, it's like I look at a dream and I'm like, unless it's really overt, I'm like, this probably means this. Everything else just seems like, what was going on?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I want to touch on that, what you're saying about these nonsensical dreams. So I kind of like use the analogy of just friends that are trying to get a hold of you and they can't reach you by a normal line, right? So then they start doing this outrageous behavior. So then the dreams become completely nonsensical. They start going all over the place. They're trying to grab your attention to be like, hey, listen, look at me. So if it's going to be a dream that's going to be some, say, boring narrative or a mundane dream, right, as in the dreams of normal waking life, what are the chances that you are going to remember that as somebody who doesn't normally remember their dreams? You're going to maybe look at it and say, why do I need to remember this dream where I'm just going to work and doing the same things? So instead, the dream is going to create this awesome narrative with all these crazy symbols, all these plot lines, all these twists to be like, hey, please look at me. And in those dreams, I think that those tend to be like highly symbolic, right? So I feel like whereas the more mundane day-to-day dreamings, I find more of like precognitive dreams will come through, like just really just tapping into what is coming through for tomorrow's day. But in the nonsensical dreams, it's just such a rich well of information for you to tap back into yourself. So that's what I kind of link it to, is like that friend who's trying to get your attention and now starts to do outrageous things until you finally look at it. And right. And that's the dream that you remembered, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that brings me to, I guess, maybe just a slightly broader question on that same topic is like, do you see all dreams as holding meaning? And if so, where does that meaning come from? Is it your subconscious just trying to work things out about yourself and things that you might be repressing? Is it something that has to do with the collective unconscious? Is any of it just not meaningful? How do you process that?
Okay, well, me personally, I think that all dreams hold meaning. And I don't think that there's ever one fixed static way that we can dream. I think it's just like a giant field of reality that we're tapping into. So yes, some dreams are very purely like subconscious working itself out. Other dreams are going to be from the divine, where you absolutely feel like you're getting inspiration. Some dreams are you're traveling to other fields of reality, like say in the astral realms. So it really is this combination of things that can experience and can happen.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I need to pause on a second here.
Yeah.
Astral realm. Let's get into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because immediately you said that and I thought of like Sabrina, you know, the Netflix show.
Oh my God,
and
yeah.
When they're doing
I love
all the astral
show.
Projecting. So I was like, am I astral projecting in my sleep?
No, you absolutely, okay, you that? Totally are. And this is what I love to tell people is yes, you are astral traveling. So astral projection is the conscious awareness of being able to move your astral body. But we all astral travel. And so the astral dreams are going to be the dreams actually where you get the precognitive information. So the astrals being a place of like our thought forms and emotions that creates a reality that's non-physical. So when we walk around in the astral dreams, it may seem like, wow, we're really walking down our street. It looks exactly like you would if you were awake, right? So we're totally astral traveling. And with that awareness of being able to have the dream recall, that's what's really going to benefit you, because then you'll be able to notice the different tones and shades of your dreams. So you'll notice, okay, I'm more in a subconscious dream, or I'm actually in the astrals, or even that sense of when you're meeting up with other people, you'll know the difference between like a dream projection and a dream character, or I'm really meeting up with you, Lila, and we really did have this conversation that happened. And then that would even tap into like realms of like telepathy.
Whoa, whoa, wow, wow.
So yeah, that was another question that we talked about. Are the figures in your dreams representative of themselves? Are they all facets of the self as seen through these different characters? And it sounds like you're saying it can be both, and it could even be literally is a tricky word here, but it could even be actually having an experience with that other person.
Yes, it can definitely be actually having an experience with that person. I also think that if we're going to jump into this, more like in the sense of like unity consciousness, it is all aspects of self, right? So when we jump into the dream, that notion of that separateness of you and me, we tend to go into that field of unity where we can actually see that. That's why it's like, oh, I'm in this body, but it's not me. I'm seeing it from a different level of awareness. So there's definitely that. I think that there are some pure dream characters, and the reason why we're dreaming with them is because there's a quality of that dream character that resonates with us. So I don't think that we can dream with anyone that isn't an aspect of self, whether that is on like the symbolic level or whether that is on the spiritual level, that we do have aspects of self that, you know, are with everyone else.
You talked at the very beginning about nightmares and how your experience with nightmares and night terrors is sort of what taught you even as a child that you were going to have to figure out a way to work with this realm. Otherwise, it was going to be scary. So we were talking about that the other day in our first part about the concept of nightmares, what they might be trying to show us, and then part of people's reluctance to look into their dreams or desire to write them off is that we often get into things that when you then try to articulate them in your waking life feel kind of shameful or scary. So how do you deal with those topics?
Maybe in the dream they didn't feel shameful.
Maybe in the dream they didn't.
Say them out loud. Yeah.
Exactly. Or, you know, stuff that you might be like, oh my God, am I a horrible person because I had this dream about this fucked up thing or something that we've decided is taboo in our society. And what I've loved about my interactions with you with dream work so far is that you just take that shame out entirely and everything has a meaning that is not quite so literal. So you can go, well, okay, maybe you had this sex dream, but that's about integration of something. Or maybe you had this scary, violent dream, but it's not because you're a scary, violent person. It's because blah, blah, blah. Can you speak to that a little bit about how we can move past the shame and the fear around dreams to get into those messages?
And dreams and or nightmares, because there's kind of like two prongs to your question, I think, Lila.
Sure. Yeah. So we'll start with nightmares. So nightmares really are, gosh, they could be so many different things, right? So they can be fears that are coming up. It can be trauma too. You can look at like, am I having a reoccurring nightmare? Is this something that has been going on? Maybe it's something that I'm not looking at. That's why it's a nightmare, because you're not looking at it and you're not healing with it and you're not dealing with it. But there's also nightmares that are showing up like repressed parts of self. So these are like a lot of like shadow dreams, things that we'd rather push down. Even things like, say, thought forms that we keep giving over and over, and yet we're stuck in a cycle and we're not really going in there and seeing like, what does this hold? So for me, every nightmare contains a gift, and that gift may be discovering what is truly beneath it and giving peace of mind, or even being able to confront and integrate that part of self and understand that like, okay, there is love that is asking to come through. There is healing that is asking to come through, but because I have made it bigger, or maybe it is something terrible, right? But I'm making it something that's bigger. I'm now creating all this energy and all this nightmare and all this darkness around it. My fear is adding to what is there. And nightmares tend to grow if you are not working with them, right? So if you start to have a nightmare and you run away, you might experience that nightmare over and over and over again, because it's asking you to step into a place where you can actually look at that and meet that aspect of self. In terms of shame dreams, I really think that there shouldn't be. I mean, we're human, so we're going to experience shame. And especially because, once again, we're working with shadow aspects. So it is going to be those repressed parts of self. But it's recognizing that those aspects need love as well. And instead of just trying to run totally to the light and be like, well, I only want to have the best, most amazing dreams, that you're missing out on so much opportunity to bring yourself back in harmony. So with those shame dreams and everything that's coming through, it's okay. Am I willing to just take a look at what's there? And I do suggest for people who have like really traumatic nightmares, like maybe work through it with someone else, but a dream or a nightmare isn't going to bring up a situation if you're not ready to confront it. There's even been stories of people where they thought that they were ready to face their trauma, and then they open a door and there's literally a sign that says like, you're not ready now, come back. So you do have like, I guess, protection in place for these dreams if it really is that terrible or that hard to look at, right? Other than that, it's coming up for review because it's saying, hey, I know that you have the power to now heal this. Are you willing to heal this? And the dreamer may be like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna come back tomorrow and see if you're ready, because I think you're ready. So I really like to think about dreams as being our friends and being in relationship with our dreams, right? So if we look at it from that way, it may be sometimes our friends give us some really tough love or some really news that we don't want to see. But in the end, there is something there that is guiding us towards wholeness that can be looked at. And if you're able to look at that lens, then you'll be able to see your nightmares in a much different light.
I love that. Recurring dreams. Are they the same thing as like recurring nightmares in the reason why they come back?
Yeah. So I would definitely say recurring dreams are definitely themes that we're working with. So we can have a recurring dream that can kind of serve as a progress support of, say, our evolution. So say we're going through a big life transition and we have a dream. And then in the very beginning, we experience this dream one way. And then a couple months later, we have that same dream, but our dream character has now kind of slightly shifted her attitude and her behavior within the dream. And then a couple months later, we start to see maybe she completely removed herself outside of that situation, but it's still that dream energy. So it's still showing us that, okay, it's still here. So you can kind of start to see where this is playing out in your life and where your patterns are coming in. You can also have reoccurring dreams if you're just not getting the message. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a nightmare that you're not understanding. It could be like, hey, listen, we're trying to get this through to you. I know I have a spectacular experience where I had completely forgotten that I was gifted like a number in a dream. And then I had my friend who passed away. Actually, she came back and she's like, you need this number. It's the number 16. And sure enough, I followed that number through all kinds of craziness. And it led me to a free hotel room on street number 16 from a guy I met on an airplane who sat in row 16 with me.
What?
So in that sense, these reoccurring dreams are also like, hey, there's a message here for you. It doesn't necessarily have to be a nightmare. It's like, we really want you to get this. And there's also a sense that you're not missing out on an opportunity. Just because you missed a dream once or you don't have the memory of that dream, the energy is still there and it's still going to come through some way.
That was another question I think we had about the language of dreams and the symbolic language of dreams. Like there are certain dreams and recurring dreams that a lot of people seem to have. Sometimes, you know, you can look it up and these symbols seem to hold like a meaning. And there's always like shades of interpretation to that. But what do you think about once you're then getting into, okay, so there's this message for me to look at. How do you then look at that message? And is there kind of a universal symbolic language at play?
Yeah. So this is really cool. So you're tapping into like what archetypes are, and archetypes are like, right, universal symbols. So if you call to mind like the image of, say, mother, right, we're all going to start to have these universal symbols that come through. So mother, nurturing, loving, caring, and that's going to be a universal archetype. But then we also have our own like subjective interpretation of what a mother is to us based off of how our mother treated us, how we were raised, right? So with dream symbolism, I actually kind of steer people away from looking online and really going inward and saying, okay, what does this symbol mean to me? Because when somebody tells you, okay, this is what this symbol means, it's based off of their experience. Now, there may be a collective agreement that, hey, yeah, this kind of does ring true. So you may find truth in that. But also, I would turn the angle around just a little bit, like, okay, but how does this apply to me? And does this make sense for me? I guess the universal archetype will be different depending on where you grew up, based on like even like your culture, your religion, what part of the world you're from, even like your language. So all these different things are going to shape it. So around the world, we may all see what a dog is and know what a dog is, but what people experience as their dog and their pet in the United States is going to be completely different where people experience what a dog is in, I don't know, some other country. I don't want to call anyone out, but our own experience is going to basically color the way that we see dream symbols. Our symbols can even change over time, right? So a symbol that I dream with often as a child is going to mean something, might mean something different to me as a child than it does as an adult, because now I have all this experience that's like, okay, my interaction and my relationship with that symbol is going to be different. So I like to think about symbols as living energy. There is not ever one single static definition, even for yourself. It is a living energy that can be shaped, and depending on the dream, it may mean something different. So just as we mentioned reoccurring dreams and how you could kind of track them and see your progress, that same way, if you look at how is this dream symbol playing out in this dream versus this other dream, you'll start to see that there's a lot more flow in there.
This brings me to a question. Something you said about the language of dreams makes me really curious, because That's another thing where when I do remember dreams, or even sometimes when I'm thinking, I'm not sure what language I'm thinking in. And that's, you know, part of being bilingual, maybe. But I also kind of wonder about the place that words may have in dreams, because we're talking about objects, we're talking about people and what symbolism that may have. But do you feel like words, dialogue, conversation in dreams? Yeah, what is the place of words in dreams?
Wow. Okay, that's incredible. That's a great question. I could tell you I have no clue exactly how to answer that. I can tell you, like, what I mean, this is a little out there, but what I believe, like, the dream is this experience that is beyond language, that is actually beyond symbols, that is out there, that our soul is currently experiencing, something that I wouldn't even be able to comprehend. But then when this experience then gets filtered through the mind, then we attach language and symbols and narrative and story and people, and all of this starts to come into play to help us remember the story.
I have heard you, though, also in moments of analyzing dreams, if someone does remember a specific phrase that they either heard or saw written down, you'll look at those words and sort of think about what are expressions that come up when you hear that word, like okay, oh, there's a ball, or someone said something like, where's the ball? And then you'll go, ball. Okay. Balls are whatever they are as an object, but also like drop the ball. Did you drop the ball? Did you lose the ball? What does that mean? Like, I've seen you kind of associate with words in that way as well, in terms of accessing their potential symbolism.
Yeah. And that's actually the exact word. That's what in dream work, that's called associations, making associations. So as you have a dream symbol, which a dream symbol can be anything, a dream symbol can literally be a word, exactly like ball. So then you can start to make associations and say, okay, what is this pulling up for me? Because I think that if we were remembering certain words or dialogue specifically, it could either be a direct message for us, or it can be another key into understanding the dream.
Wow. The last question I wanted to have you tell a little bit about, when you approach dream work in your dream circles, would you tell us sort of like how that works as a practice, as a collective practice?
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I love dream circles, guys. Dream circles, I believe, are a gift both to the dreamer and to the collective, everyone who is coming through. And in this way, we have this beautiful opportunity where the person gets to share a dream, be seen and be heard. And the people who are sharing the dream then gets to provide mirrors of awareness to what this dream could be. So if you're doing dream work on your own, you may find that you can't go as deep or as far or as wide as when you're with a group of people. So even if you're not necessarily accepting their interpretations or understandings of the dream, it'll start to trigger more within you that you'll go and ask harder questions. So in dream circle, I usually have a dreamer offer a dream to the group, and then we'll all sit and receive the dream. So in this way, for me, it's very important to be in silence to receive the dream. I like to receive it into the body, but I like to listen to it through a filter of either my heart or my womb space. They have two different tones through which you can look at the dream. And then we reflect what we are receiving back to the dreamer. So something that's important for my dream circles is we use terminology like if it were my dream. And the way that we are receiving the dream is, okay, if I'm really experiencing this dream, what am I picking up on? What am I feeling? What am I seeing? What does this mean to me? How does this apply to my life? Is there a resolution of conflict that I'm looking for? What exactly is this stirring within myself? And then we then offer that back up to the dreamer. So it's really cool, because then each person will kind of go through and say, okay, this is what I had from the dream. This is what I got. And we'll start to feed off of each other. And you'll notice that you kind of start to activate each other. So one person may bring up something else, and then you're like, oh, this makes me think of this. So it's this really cool kind of like weaving that goes in and out of the dream. And then at the very end, the dreamer will then give back how she synthesized all of that, right? So she's going to listen to everything. She's going to then start to address. So she'll take and kind of like harvest from all those different, I hesitate to say interpretations. I like to go for like understanding. So she'll take all those different understandings, see what does this mean for me? What resonates with me? And this is a huge key. So you're going to find that as you work in Dream Circle, people are going to be bringing up a lot. You only take what actually resonates for you, and the rest you can just go ahead and leave behind. And you'll start to notice kind of like a bodily reaction, kind of just like, ooh, that feels right, or like a little bit of excitement, or, oh yeah, that kind of clicks. And then you'll come up with your own dream understanding. And from there, what I always try and move people towards is like, okay, great, you have your understanding. but what are you going to do with it? Right. So it's not just enough to get the dream and to see what is it trying to say to me or what does this mean for my life? It's more about how can I integrate and move this? How can this affect my waking reality? How can this make my life easier? The dreaming and the waking are two sides of the same coin, and integrating both those to see the wholeness of life.
That's beautiful. It's an exercise in empathy.
It is. It absolutely is. It's totally an exercise too, because like I love Dream Circle and I love working with our intuition. It's tapping into our own intuition and recognizing that we're in a shared field of consciousness.
What do we think? Should we get into some specific dreams? Here's what I remember of the recording from my dream.
You made a recording of your dream?
Yes. Oh my God. I'll play the beginning for S's and G's.
We could even just pause this and listen to the dream so that way you can give it to us in its fullness.
Sure. Well, keep the recording and I'll cut it out because it definitely feels a little weird.
Dream going on a trip. But it was kind of like I was running away from home or running away from somewhere. And I was someone else and I was in a Jeep. I was in like an electric Jeep and my husband.
Even as I'm recounting the dream, I'm like, I don't remember what was going on with this.
No, I love that you're absolutely right. It was pretty rich and there was a lot going on. I was just going to invite you, Naima, to give a title to your dream. And just for the people listening, when we title our dreams, it's just another way to mark it and remember it. So it could help with dream recall.
I feel like it would be called On the Run.
On the Run. Cool. And then I invite you now to go ahead and share your dream as you remember it.
Well, it's funny because listening to the audio, there were a bunch of moments I forgot about being in the store. I forgot about being in the wood shop. I think, so if I'm doing the broad strokes, it's like I'm running away from something. I have like a mean husband and I either am with my friend or am my friend. And it's like an electric car and they took out the battery, but somehow there was another battery and I'm running away. I encounter one of my French students who I end up like helping out and then staying over at their house. And then somehow, I guess I'm then end up in my friend's with a friend in my kitchen who's like making some sort of like warm drink, saying like that's what she wants to do with her family. But her siblings are there. I don't remember that part very well. In that moment, there's like feelings a little bit of like loneliness and sense of like family, and then somehow keep going on the run. And I'm there with my cousin trying to like maybe fix up the shack where I run away to. And as I'm like preparing, I go to the store and I feel like the things I bought in the store were so specific. Even now I can kind of recall I bought this like small red cast iron skillet, and I can even now recall what that looked like. It was like very specific about the things that I was buying. And that's basically all I remember.
Yeah. And for the listeners who didn't hear, she went to the store to get vegetables, but bought beef jerky.
I forgot about that.
So with the dream work, we can enter into the dream so many different ways. We can start to basically pull apart symbols, or we can look at like the emotions. We can start to look at the characters. We can look at the placement. We can even look at the narrative. So each dreamer, as they go through and do dream work, they're going to be called to different aspects of the dream. So I tend to be a person who goes more for, I think, like symbolism. And then other people tend to ask different types of questions. So it's really cool when you have different people, because we'll all be filling in certain parts of the dreams that we're not really seeing. So a few things that are like coming to mind immediately is like, I'm asking myself, okay, what am I running from? Clearly I'm running from this mean husband, but there's something that I'm avoiding in my life. And that's kind of setting the premise or the tone for this entire dream. There's some kind of avoidance. And I'm wondering, okay, is it something that I fear? Is it something that I'm uncomfortable with? What am I not willing to look at? And then now I have this like electric car without a battery, which is a Jeep. The first thing that I think about Jeep, and this goes back to like what Lila said, making associations. To me, Jeeps are rugged and they're fun and they're meant to be outdoors, but there's also this like electric, right? So it runs on a battery, not like a normal car, yet the battery is taken. So that makes me think about like even like my sleep and my rest in a sense, because I like to associate cars with like the body. And if I think about batteries, batteries keep things going. Well, if there's missing a battery, where am I missing? Is it rest? Where am I not getting the recovery that I need, or the stamina, right? Where am I missing some aspect of that? But then there also is this like replacement battery. So there is still something that can keep me going and keep me on the run. So it makes me kind of think of like, okay, so maybe I've depleted like my natural source, but there's like this adrenaline maybe that's coming on that keeps me running, that second battery, that second wind that's coming through. And then the rest of the dream, let's see, there's an uncomfortableness about going to somebody else's home that I'm now experiencing, right? So it feels like I'm trying to hide, but I'm hiding in a place that's other or a place that's unfamiliar, and even in a place that's like my student. So I'm kind of wondering, okay, what does that feel like? But I know that you had mentioned that in this dream, there was milk and honey, and milk and honey is a beautiful thing. So the fact that I'm feeling uncomfortable, yet milk and honey, I mean, we could all make associations with that, but that just sounds like of the earth, of the feminine, of the natural, of bees, of this golden nectar, you know, both of those. I absolutely love that. And in the sense of like being in the kitchen, to me, kitchen is nourishment. And there's this warm drink that's being served, but my friend here is lonely. So it's interesting that you had mentioned Naima, where you're like, well, I don't really know if I'm my friends in my dreams or if it's me. That's where I would say that's more of a dream character rather than dreaming with the actual person. So if I'm sitting here, I'm in this kitchen, I'm drinking this warm drink, which should be like warm upon my body. Yep. A dream character of mine, my friend is experiencing loneliness. I'm kind of asking myself, okay, where do I feel lonely? Like I'm missing my family. Like I don't have the nourishment that I need to once again go back to the battery to sustain me in this long run. Also, what am I neglecting of myself? And then in that way, it's like, okay, now I finally come to this resting place where I'm with my cousin. It's a wooden shack. Why am I building myself a wooden shack? Why? So I wasn't comfortable in the home with these other people who I know, but instead I feel the need to put myself in a wooden shack. And then now I need to rebuild this shack. And I know you'd mentioned before, I don't know if we caught it on this tape, about how there was just the wood, the wood, the wood. You kept repeating the wood. So I would start to like look into that. What out of all the materials that I'm building with, what is this wood? What does the wood mean to me?
What is warmth?
What is warmth? What is warmth? That's interesting, because then you're in a small shack, right? So there's something that's wanting to be built, maybe a protection. And then it's also interesting going back to then, okay, now I am basically going to the grocery store. I want to buy vegetables, which are going to, once again, be healthy, which are going to give my body what it needs, which is going to give me energy. But instead I buy like beef jerky, which to me isn't that nourishing. It's kind of like hard, it's dry, it's, you know, old. And then I have these specific things that I'm looking for something specific, and I'm buying these things, yet they're not really what I need. Why do I need a red iron cast skillet, or why do I need the beef jerky when I need vegetables? So this dream is really showing me that I'm avoiding some conflict within myself. And I'm trying to fill it with other things that also I'm not finding to really fill me. They're not making me feel good. So I just keep moving from one thing to the next.
Which is kind of what the dream did. I kept moving from one thing to the next in the dream,
too. Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so for me, I'm trying to think what I wrote down. I think I was picking up a lot on the relationships. You started with saying my husband and my student, my friend, my cousin, the shopkeeper who's flirting with me.
So oh my God, thinking, I forgot about the shopkeeper.
I totally forgot about the shopkeeper too.
He said you had a nice ass and you were, but you didn't sound like offended about it. So no, so from the eye, so I'm just thinking, so I'm a start off on the run with my husband or running from my husband. So there's this sense of like, okay, I have this partner, and you talked about my husband is a little bit older, and you said, maybe I'm older. And then I go to my student and I go to their house, and I'm talking about my student's parents. And then I'm with my friend in her kitchen, and she's talking about her parents, and she's talking about her children that she wants to have, what she's worried that she won't have with her children or doesn't get from her parents. And now I'm with my cousin, and I'm definitely more comfortable with my cousin. Like, we end up together at this shack. We decide to run away together. This is someone I feel safe with, but we're still, yeah, we're kind of out away from society. Like Juliana said, we're building this shack, and we go to get supplies, and there's this other person, again, another male presence who's kind of checking me out, and I'm sort of wary but intrigued. And so for me, like, I'm feeling all this tension around family and community and, like, what do I trust about these primal relationships to a husband, to a mother, father, son, daughter, whatever, all these, like, almost every type of relationship is there, but there's this sense of kind of, like, who am I safe with? Who am I running to? Who am I running from? Who is lonely? And I think I kind of agree with Juliana. I'm feeling like they're more, yeah, dream characters, not so much the real people. So it's like, also, what are those facets of myself? Am I, you know, what part of me is this lonely friend that just wants to offer nourishment and give you this milk and honey, but fundamentally doesn't fully trust that I'm getting going to back this love in my own family? Or there was so much in the stream, audience, so I'm going to leave it at that for now. That was the main thread that I was picking up on, is all these different iterations of relationship.
I love that, Lila, because even that starting point, it's like, I'm running away from this mean husband. What masculine aspect of myself am I running away from? Like, what part of, where am I mean to myself, where then I feel like I'm running, right? And then I'm trying to find these other comforts and these other aspects of self, which are all kind of like, none of them really feel right. And as complex, multifaceted beings, it's like, I can both be the mean husband and the lonely friend. Like, I can hold both of those truths within me. And this is where the dream is able to then reveal it.
My God, this is fascinating stuff. This makes me want to remember my dreams all the time so I can know myself, or just even like the meaning that you yourself give to something already is part of the healing process. Being like, what it is that you see and what you pick up on helps you realize what you want to be picking up on too.
So this is the point where then you would sort of ask, what, if anything, resonated with you from what, because, you know, we're, like Juliana pointed out earlier, we're responding from our own perspective as well.
Yeah. So how would you integrate, as I was bringing up, how would you integrate this dream? What does this mean to your waking life? What would you do? What action? And for the people listening, it can be something as simple as, I'm going to journal, or it could be like, I'm going to enter into a meditation with this, or I'm going to set up a ritual, or I'm going to be nice to myself and actually buy those vegetables that I know my body needs, or I'm going to call those friends who showed up. So there's many different ways that we can move with the dream energy. Only you know what is right for you. And some dreams, as I say, like a really good dream asks more questions than it does give answers. So it may just spur you on a deeper journey.
It's tough because the dream feels a little old too, because I had it last week or a week ago or something. But definitely some of those themes stick with me. What am I going to do? I'm going to do our book club exercise, parentheses, we're all in a book club together. I'm going to do our book club exercise on resentment and purging resentments. I feel like maybe that male, angry male part character or part of me is maybe this like angry part of me that I'm trying to run away from and maybe need to purge. So feeling like doing that work of self-forgiveness and of purging will help. So that's kind of like what I'm going to take out of the dream.
Thank
Is that
you.
Enough?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I love that.
Just purging all your resentments. No, that's not enough, Naima. We need more from you.
Story of my life. Okay.
So for the people listening, it is when we basically take action on the dream that we anchor it into waking reality, which then also is another way to help you remember your dreams. So going back to how I was saying, like, dreams are your friends, right? So if you take action, you're basically signaling to your subconscious mind, hey, listen, I'm actually listening and I'm doing something with this. Give me more of this. And you'd be surprised. They'll start to come through. So I would also look at the dreams and be like, okay, what part of this can happen in waking reality, right? So it's not always just symbolic. We are incredibly psychic, intuitive beings. So what part of the dreams could actually apply to waking life? And when you do like more one-on-one work, it's really cool to ask, hey, Naima, could any of this dream really happen in waking reality? And start to think about that. Like, okay, what part of this could be happening?
Ooh, that's so interesting.
Or even the loneliness of the friend, right? So maybe mm-hmm. part of me is lonely, but also I would maybe say, can I reach out to that friend and see, is she lonely too? Like, what's going on with her? Maybe I'm tapping in because, you know, as we have relationships in waking life, we are very connected to them. So some of that information tends to come through the dreams, right? When we don't have our normal daily blocks up, we can see kind of what's going on with people in our lives. And it's kind of crazy, to be honest. But in that sense, it's like, okay, why did I receive that dream if she is lonely? Because I am a compassionate human being and I love my friend and I want to make sure that I am there for her. And that's why I was able to receive this dream, right? So if we're looking at it from a sense of, could this really be happening?
We flew by this time with you, Juliana, because I don't know, you've just got such light and such presence and such wisdom. You sucked us in. And we're so grateful to have had you on with us. And just reiterating for the people listening, your Instagram is?
At the Honey Hive Buzz.
And you also have a website now.
Yeah. www.thehoneyhivebuzz.com.
There you go. Find Juliana. She does virtual sessions and hosts virtual dream circles and also just shares resources. So if you're intrigued at all, I very much encourage you to check it out. We did an Instagram live dream circle once and it was fun.
Yeah, Lila, you're a great dream worker. And for everyone listening, you can totally reach out to me. I absolutely love it. Dreams are so much fun. I would love to share this with you. So come find me and we can be friends.
So
real quick synthesis before you go into your next
lesson, but we're still going to have a pretty hefty episode. I feel a little guilty that we didn't get to your dream, but
that's okay.
Less to cut out, I guess, when we're doing the edit.
No, but it's fun because you hadn't done it before, so it's perfect because I brought our thesis this week. I'm already kind of into it. So you were our skeptic. Here you are. You've had your first experience. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
In some ways, yes, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I think there's just comfort in dreams and knowing that you're going to have them and knowing that you are in those dreams and it's you and they're yours. And I'm drinking the Kool-Aid in the sense that I want to be remembering my dreams more and maybe sharing them more and learning about myself through them. But definitely some of the other stuff, I feel like I'm not on that level yet of like the astral projection in the dreams. I was like, I mean, that sounds dope and I want to be doing that, but that sound, that feels so far away. I think I'm like still level one and that's level 10. So I'm drinking the Kool-Aid in the sense that dreams can be helpful for self-knowledge.
Love that.
Do you drink this Kool-Aid?
I have the same reservations as you. I don't quite understand what all the rest of that means. And it's always like my brain wants to go, really? Can I connect with another person? And what is an astral plane? But I definitely am drinking the Kool-Aid of there are things going on in my mind and in myself that are probably popping up and being reflected back to me and that are worth delving into that we might be kind of repressing or keeping at bay in our waking life. And I'm drinking the Kool-Aid of taking a closer look at those things and doing it in community because it's fun. Doing the dream circle is a fun thing too, to hear what's resonating, getting a peek from someone else, their vantage point is cool.
And definitely that was one of the really interesting things today of like your understanding and Juliana's understandings are not necessarily things I would have jumped to right away, things that didn't stand out to me as the dreamer. But then you said them and I was like, oh, yeah, that does resonate. So that is nice. I like the idea of dream analysis and community. It's been interesting talking about dreams in this context of modalities because there's something that everybody has. And whereas modalities are something that we try on or that somebody else has created or tapped into.
Right, there's something inherent about, nobody had to go like, here's a theory I came up with. We all dream. That's just true. That's a good point.
That's been interesting. And then the other outside stuff about how do I understand this? How do I interpret this? Yes, there's a history of that. But what Juliana was saying was it really is up to you what resonates with you. So in some ways, it's very much like structured to help, but without being an external modality. Very, very interesting nebulous space.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that is part of what appeals about it to me. It's like it feels on some level just inherently true that we all dream and there is something to that. I mean, people have been trying to figure it out since the dawn of time. And I guess jury's still out to me on whether they're all inherently meaningful, but I think maybe part of what Juliana was illustrating to me is that if you can explore your dream and find meaning there, then it's meaningful, you know? Mm-hmm. If there is a message for you, or if, like you said, if someone says, oh, to me, I feel blah, 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 and you go, oh, well, that moment of resonance. There we go, guys. Feeling the resonance is the point. Because then you go, okay, that struck some chord with me, and I get to choose to, like, take that message in and use it or not. And I also like that it's not prescriptive, you know, all these other modalities, as much as everyone has expanded my view of them, they are very like, well, this is the body of work. And with the dreams, like, you could have a new dream every night. You could have a new meaning. She even said that. I liked her idea of, like, even your own relationship to any given symbol evolving throughout your life.
I thought that was really nice and beautiful, and that there's room in this quote-unquote modality for flexibility and growth, and that it is really like a personal journey. So you don't need to buy a book. I mean, buy a book if it's helpful, but really you are the book.
Yeah. Ooh. Deep.
Deep. And I think that's what we should end on.
And we are the library. What? No, I ruined it. I'm sorry.
Deep shit with Lila and Naima.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This has been another episode of Drinking the Kool-Aid with Lila and Naima. Thanks for tuning in. Our music is made by Sammy Miller and Molly Miller.
Our artwork is by the wonderful Charlotte Beach.
Editing done by Lila and Naima. Sorry.
We hope you'll join us again next time for another episode of Drinking the Kool-Aid with Naima and Lila.